Volutus, by Care, read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Pitch Perfect. Summary. Around and around and around. In immortality / reincarnation AU. And as such, there is a warning for character death. Chloe asks, how many times have I died? Becca doesn't answer. Rome tastes like ashes, like charred paper. The smoke lingers in Becca's tangled hair and in her mouth. She thinks she might not be able to taste anything else again. The heat stings her face. She doesn't forget the screams. Jazz makes her feel reborn. There's something wild about prohibition. Becca feels the syncopated rhythm fill every part of her being until she's drunk on music. She's drunk on other things, too. Cheap brandy in her sidecar and pure gin are what she goes for. It's the first time, in a long time, that she doesn't miss Chloe, like a constant worry tugging at her. Instead, she dances, the lights and sounds of Manhattan her backdrop. She finds Chloe singing at a nightclub, her voice a drawl, her hair copper beneath the light. Becca feels the catch in her chest. Uncertainty sits heavy in the pit of her stomach. Hi, Becca says, approaching afterwards. Hi, Chloe says and smiles. It all comes back to a well. She's walked all night, the soles of her feet bleeding. The first sip of tepid water brings sharp relief. Becca drinks so fast, she throws it back up in the bushes, shaking with effort, and has to try again. She falls asleep in a grove of stunted olive trees. When she wakes up, her feet are healed. When she wakes up, a man, with no teeth and a missing thumb, slices open her chest. She still remembers the weight of him pressed against her, and the sharp twist of the knife cutting through her insides. He smelled foul, like vinegar wine and sweat. Becca kills him with his own knife, and the wound heals itself. She's not sure if there's a correlation. She wipes the blade clean on his shirt and takes it with her. She vomits again half a mile later. Or tries. There's nothing in her stomach to come up. I think we've met before, Chloe says, smiling. There's something mischievous at the corner of her mouth, but Becca can only pick out sincerity in her voice. Becca strokes the inside of Chloe's wrist. The skin is the softest. She presses a kiss there. She imagines her lips touching Chloe's pulse. The blood pumping through the thin blue veins. She imagines a lot of things from a lot of different times. Maybe, Becca says finally, unsure of where to even begin. The first time Chloe asks her how old she is, Becca is only around 600. Old enough to know, young enough to not understand. She curls her fingers in Chloe's fire-bright hair, fairy hair, and tries not to think too hard about what's to come. Her name isn't Chloe then, and Becca isn't Becca, but she's forgotten by now what they went by. They have a few years at a thatched roof cottage by the sea. She thinks it's somewhere near Cornwall. No children that time, though Chloe yearns. The house is dark and cramped, and damp seeps no matter what they do. It always smells of salt. Becca's clothes are perpetually crusted with it. She doesn't mind. It's plague in the end, like it is so many others. Becca only remembers it because it's the first. Chloe's face gaunt beneath the touch of Becca's fingers, her breath rattling in the sunken cave of her chest. Becca cries until her body hurts, until she feels her bones ache. The grave marker is driftwood. Becca doesn't return for centuries. Salem is one of the worst. Being called witch isn't new. Becca's been called that for so long, she can't recall when it started. But the hunts are never pleasant. Burning hurts, even when you can't die. It sears the back of Becca's throat, and she coughs up ash for days. She doesn't find Chloe that time. Doesn't know how. Doesn't have the time. Maybe she's still in Europe. Becca thought it'd be better to come over when she could. But maybe it was a mistake. She goes south, aiming for New Amsterdam, Her skin heals over on the way. Your father will kill you, Becca murmurs, pressing Chloe against the wall with her kisses. Chloe's eyes glint in the dark. Becca smells jasmine in her hair, the scent perfuming the air around them. I'd like to see him try. She giggles, spinning them. Becca laughs an unexpected hiccup of a laugh as her back hits the wall. She arches up, her entire body loose with desire, feeling it pulse in her fingers and toes. Chloe's mouth is almost too warm compared to the cool night. She licks Becca's bottom lip with the tip of her tongue, and Becca groans, suddenly boneless. Trysting in the gardens, hidden beneath a stone arch. It tastes delicious, like a sweet wine. We're the girl, Becca whispers in Chloe's ear, doing her best imitation of Lord Beale. Chloe, how could you? She palms her way through the layers of Chloe's skirts, gathering them to the side so she can stroke the inside of Chloe's thighs. Oh, Chloe gasps, dropping her forehead against Becca's shoulder. Becca inches her hand up, her heart hammering. Letting her defile you in the gardens like this, she continues, she's shaking. No defiling yet, Chloe murmurs, panting. Not tonight. Shit, Becca hisses, finding the wet heat of Chloe with her fingers, the memory of Chloe in her mouth. Chloe makes a little sound at the back of her throat. It's Becca's favourite sound. It has been for as long as she can remember. Inappropriate language. Inappropriate everything, Becca says back. Chloe laughs, and that, Becca amends her earlier statement, is her favourite sound. What's it like? Chloe asks. She's halfway asleep, her eyes drifting closed. Becca rests her palm against the side of Chloe's jaw, feeling the line of bone beneath her thumb. What? Chloe's mouth quirks up in a tiny smile. Not dying. She reaches up and catches Becca's hand, kisses the mound of her palm. Her lips are soft. It feels like... Becca starts. She falters. There's so much to say and also nothing at all. It feels like waiting for something that never comes. It feels like... It feels lonely. Chloe opens her eyes. She pulls Becca closer, nuzzling her nose against the column of Becca's throat. I wish I could stay with you. No, Becca whispers, though her whole heart says otherwise. You don't. It's childbirth once. Only once. Becca remembers the blood, warm and sticky on her skin, the sheets matted with it. Chloe going paler as the hours wear on, heaving with effort. She clutches Becca's hand so hard Becca's surprised the bones don't break. It wouldn't have mattered if they did. The baby's stillborn, blue, and completely perfect. Becca wraps him up, holds him for a while in front of the fire. His name is supposed to be Daniel, and she whispers it over and over again. She examines the tiny fingers, the bow of a mouth. He's got Chloe's hair, wisps of red against the crown of his head. They'll move on from this. Chloe will wake in the morning, and they will cry, and they will move on. But Chloe doesn't wake up. She's cold to the touch when Becca stirs from sleep. Becca buries them in side-by-side plots near the grave of Chloe's dead husband. Never again, she tells herself, walking away. Never again. When she really finds out. It's the dumbest idea Becca's had in years, at least 10 or 20. Who goes fishing in the middle of a lightning storm? Her boat capsizes, she breathes seawater choking on it. Her last thought before drowning is, fuck. She wakes up on a strange beach days later, soaked through and coughing and alive. Chloe, the strange and still beautiful Chloe, is stroking her forehead with cold fingers. A touch tentative and worried. I know you, Becca whispered, her throat straining with effort. Chloe's name is in her mouth, sitting heavy on her tongue. You're dead. Chloe puts a hand over Becca's eyes. Shh, she says. You're safe now. One time. Floating in gondolas in a canal in Venice, Becca looks up, and there she is, the next boat over, her face hidden beneath the mask. Her eyes are the same, and Becca feels them, long after their gondolas separate and disappear into the night. Later, Becca wishes she had said something, called out, yelled, leapt into the murky stretch of water between them. She spends days looking through Venice for Chloe, and finds nothing. She carries with her the burning brightness of Chloe's gaze, and waits for the next time. She stops counting around 1600. Age is meaningless when there's no end. Becca would rather keep track of other things. "Would you live forever with me?" Chloe whispers in Becca's ear, leaning over her in the bed, her hands twisted up in Becca's hair, the words coming slightly slurred. Becca shuts her eyes and opens them again. The walls of Chloe's bedchamber shifts and blur in her vision. She's had too much wine. Her father will scold her again. It's no way for the daughter of a senator to behave. Chloe's also certain that the daughter of a senator wouldn't be naked in the bed of a patrician's daughter, but she hasn't shared that with him yet. Chloe kisses Becca's chin, giggling. "You haven't answered my question." Lamplight makes Chloe's skin glow golden. Becca reaches up and touches Chloe's cheeks, her lips. Chloe parts her mouth ever so slightly. Becca slips the tip of her forefinger in until Chloe bites down on it, the sensation making Becca shudder. "Yes," Becca says. "For you, yes." She falls asleep against the curve of Chloe's body, dreaming of things forgotten and strange. When she wakes up, Rome is burning. The end. Thank you for listening.